Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansone-Brath, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Lead Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, an artist, and a lesbian. Not necessarily in that order. And she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice who will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex. Ms. Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you today?
Hello, darling. How are
darling,
you?
Darling, you're hanging in there?
Yes.
Wow. And remember, we've been talking about how COVID's still around and, you know, Susan sometimes calls on our show. You know, Susan's going back to school, and she calls in quite, you know, maybe once every couple of months. Well, she has COVID right now. So, weird, and she's had a lot of, you know, weird symptoms. So, again, we stress on the show, it's not over till it's over, so please be careful, okay? So, I was sad to hear about that. And, she'll be calling in probably when she feels better, but let's hope that's very soon. And,
yes, well wishes all around.
I know. I've been hearing a lot of COVID in the last week or two, 3 weeks. So, just when we thought it was kind of going away, now it's – and it's people that who have dodged a bullet a long time, you know, like Amanda, who's the EMT, she ended up catching it, and she, you know, she didn't catch it last year. She caught it now, so – Please don't think it's over yet, you know, and, you know, be careful. And, you know, I've heard some sad stories, readings recently where people, twice in the last 2 days, where they got together for Christmas, you know, a group of people, and one father was 67 and he died from COVID, and on another group, the mother was 67 and she died from COVID. So after Christmas. So we want to stress, please, no big gatherings yet. You know, be careful. Yep. I know some of us are getting vaccinated, but still we can be carriers or whatever. Until they know more about everything, just keep social distancing, wearing your mask, and being careful. You know.
Yep, absolutely.
So we do have a lot of listeners tonight.
I noticed it.
And if anyone wants to talk to us, they do have to press 1. And, I think we shall just start with the first one. And then do you remember what Amanda's number is? Because she said she might try to call in, but I'm not sure if she's the...
Who, Amanda said?
Yeah. She's the 516-317.
Let me take a quick look here. Yep, she's here.
Is that her?
I see her. Here.
I think that might be her. So we'll pick
I'm
up her first.
Her right now. So there you go.
Okay.
It should pop up on your screen in a second.
Okay. And, you know, we'll pick up her first, and I'll let you screen the others, okay?
Yes, ma'am. Okay. And for all of our
listeners,
it's
a little safer
to
screen.
What's that?
It's always a little safer to screen, you know, first if
you
can.
Oh, yes, definitely. So for all the listeners who are calling in tonight, please don't forget, press the number 1 if you'd like to speak to Cindy or I. When I pull you into the chat room, I will always identify you by the last 4 digits of your phone number. So when you hear the last 4 digits, please answer us so that we can chat and get you all queued up. So first and foremost, we're going to go to Amanda because we know that she is our brand of crazy. I'm going to then jump into the chat room and screen the next few callers. So here we go out to Amanda. Hello, Amanda. You are on the air.
Hi.
Hi, so it is you. I was not sure. I was like, I hope I'm right on this one because
your
last email was, I have to go answer a call. So I was like, okay, maybe she didn't have to go answer a call.
Oh, no, I did. It was quick.
Okay, so do you want to share with us what's happening? So we know you're now tested negative for COVID, right? You're feeling better, I hope?
Yeah, I'm feeling much, much better.
Okay.
You know. I'm feeling physically better, mentally and emotionally, not so much, obviously. The last day that I was in quarantine, my boyfriend broke up with me, I'm pretty sure it's because of his family, obviously. I'm really calling about that.
Okay.
It's really,
Now, have you spoken to him in the last few days?
The last time I spoke to him was after he had gotten into his car accident Monday night.
Yeah, I noticed that he broke up with you and, you know, he gets in a car accident. I don't think he's in his right mind lately, okay? It does definitely look like family drama. And then he hasn't spoken to you since then?
No.
Okay. There's a lot of depression showing in the cards, okay? He's very depressed over the situation. It's hard for him because, it was very weird. You know, I'll fill in our listeners a little bit. Like, you had emailed me on, like, Monday or something saying how he because you were in quarantine, but he stopped over with chocolate and flowers and left them for you, okay?
Yeah.
And then, like, a few days later, you'd say he broke up with you. Like, that is weird. How does somebody give you flowers and candy on Monday and, like, a few days later break up with you? Okay,
yeah.
That was a little, crazy, wasn't it?
Yeah, very crazy.
And, you were saying that, some of his family members seem to have, funny, you're not with him for, like, 10 days, okay, because you're quarantining. And it looks like they ambushed him on those 10 days. Okay, like, took advantage of the fact that you're not there, took advantage of maybe his fear that something could happen to you because you were sick, and then he ran away. Now, this was a man who, how long have you been with him altogether?
It would have been 6 months.
Remember, you listened to our show long enough. The first 3 months, love is all great. 3 to 6 months. Sometimes something can happen to break it up, okay?
Yeah.
And the prince becomes the beast. At some point, he's a beast right now. I'm not loving him right now because of this behavior. I think it's terrible that you were sick and at the moment of, like, weakness, he breaks up with you. But it looks more like the family has gotten to him. And, like, what he wants to do is come back, but he has to be sure he can come back strong enough that no matter what they say, he won't hurt you again. Because he's basically a nice guy, okay? This is a nice guy. He's not – if he would have called you already and come to see you and all of that. But he's still got whatever bee in their bonnet they put in his head. And I'm not sure what that was. But, he can't seem to shake it and – he's torn between his family and you, and it's not, his father likes you and all of that, but, his siblings are a little bit trouble here. And now, if he comes back into your life, you're going to have to find a way to get along with those sisters of his, okay? Whether you just guess them to death and, you guys were planning on moving anyway originally, like out of state, so you wouldn't be seeing them that much. Did you have a fight with one of them, or did you say something? Because it looks like one of the sisters more than the other, was really going at him about this.
There's actually the sister that is the same age as him, because he's a triplet. I had reached out to her because I genuinely wanted to work it out with her, especially since, she lives in the house and obviously I saw her the most. She was very upset over things that, you know, that weren't even, you know, it wasn't even my fault, I guess. I mean, he was upset that I had gotten a key to the house, which was not my idea. That was actually his father's idea. And, you know, just naming things that, you know, that I was already doing, you know, she's like, oh, you clean up after yourself, you know, don't use the stuff that we buy, all this other stuff. And, you know, I was already doing all those things. So, I mean, the only thing that I could, you know, the only thing that I could distinguish was that, you know, she's probably just very, she's very jealous and she's.
Well, remember, they are triplets. You know, they have a bond, they have a connection, you know, that jealousy can sometimes go with it. But also, I think in the future, you probably shouldn't go move in or get too close to a man who's living with his family, like living in the
family. You know? Yeah.
Too many women in the household can be a problem.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that looks like, you know, he really cares what that sister has to say, though, more than he should.
Yeah.
It really seems to bother him. But, again, you know, the triplets and twins always have this deep bond.
And right.
Does she not have a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a significant other? Does she not have anybody?
Oh, she does, but she has been dating a commitment foe for the past, like, 12 years.
Oh, so can you see how this must freak her out that, now her brother meets you, and within 6 months he wants to move, you know, to move with you and have a committed life with you. It looks like that drove her crazy.
Yeah, I'm sure it did.
You know, that, and so she sabotaged this, and, you know, but again, you can't poo-poo this away as not being significant because, he, you know, this seems very out of character, but, you know, it, you know, when he comes to talk to you or whatever, it's kind of got to be clear this isn't acceptable behavior.
Right.
To like, break up. And, I mean, it didn't look like, to me, he gave a very valid reason. He said because of his sister? Like, is that why he broke up? What reason did he say?
Yeah, you know, because I was basically saying, before I had gotten sick, you know, I was telling him that, you know, like the being in the house with his, you know, with his sister, it was getting, you know, pretty uncomfortable. And then, you know, and then the sister that doesn't live there in the house, you know, she was also, you know, she was also making it uncomfortable as well. You know, I was basically telling him that, you know, those sort of behaviors aren't acceptable. And, you know, it was pretty much, you know, he said many times he didn't want to choose between me or his family, but, you know, obviously he ended up choosing his family.
Okay, and again, you know, it was probably a little too soon to start being there to, so much. And, you know, people are very territorial. And we're in the middle of COVID, so people are pretty locked up in their houses. So maybe if it was normal times and people were out of the house more, this wouldn't have occurred. But, you know, he came on very strong to you. And what happens is, you know, the prince becomes the beast at the six-month mark. All of a sudden, his commitment phobia kicked in. Like,
yeah.
This is what – he's playing the game of blemish. He's looking for some reason to run, okay? And this is the reason he's using. It doesn't even make sense to him, by the way. And he's the one who moved it very quickly. I was a little concerned about that when you were calling into the radio show and things that he was moving too quickly from the beginning, like bringing you to his family and we're going to move, you know, to, you know, Tennessee or wherever you're going to move, a little too quickly. And that's because the love is so strong with soulmates in the beginning that it overcomes fear. But around the six-month mark, fear will kick in. And so what he was trying to do is backpedal a little bit. Like, it's all scaring him. And also, they didn't really want him to move. Whose idea was the move? Because they don't want him to move.
Well, his, so his, you know, the brother of, his brother of, so it's him and his brother and then the sister. They were triplets. The brother, that was actually supposed to get married back in October. It got postponed due to COVID. But, you know, that is the general plan, was that, you know, he and his brother and, the fiance were going to move down south after they had gotten married. And then obviously I came into the picture and, you know, he asked me if I would be interested. And I said yes, I mean, because I was planning on going down there anyway. You know, so it just seemed like it was like the perfect.
And the other sister, she's not moving, the one that's trouble, like she's not moving. So I think she really doesn't want him to move. Okay. She
doesn't
want all of them moving. So that looks like she's trying to like make sure he stays. I mean, have you tried to contact him now?
I haven't.
Okay. Cause I would like, I'm glad you haven't. Let's just give him some time to, you know, fear losing you more than loving you. And see, you know, what he does. I mean, it looks like an awful lot of drinking here. I think some of that's toning down a little bit. So he's distracting with alcohol and maybe not feeling all the pain that he should be feeling.
Right.
And, you know, give it, you know, I would say don't contact him for like at least a month if he doesn't contact you. I think he will contact you before that. It looks like he will. But at that point, you could contact him and see what the story is and how he's feeling about things. But, he, you know, it looks like maybe around 2 weeks from now he'll contact you. Just give him a little time. If you try to contact him now, he still sort of doesn't know what he wants. Okay. And it's not a lack of him loving you or caring about you. That's showing that he loves you. But, you know, I think his sister guilted him about moving. You know, the other brother's moving, he's moving, she's going to be left here alone. And she doesn't want to be here without them.
No, and the mother is supposed to move. The mother's supposed to also move upstate. And, you know, the father was even, you know, talking about moving down south. So everybody is kind of leaving her. And she's, you know, she's panicking, I guess.
Right. Her abandonment issues came, like, to light here. So, you know, give it a little time. It's not that he doesn't love you, but... you know, this is pretty shocking behavior. And this is a typical commitment phobic. They're otherwise nice people that do something very cruel. You know, like what he did was cruel. And it's out of character for him because he's a nice guy. So, again, it's commitment phobia. But, you know, people that are true diehard commitment phobics are always have some level of narcissism. I don't see him to be a true diehard commitment phobic yet. You know, he just got scared. Let's see what happens. But, you know, it's kind of like, you know, when you let him back in, you know, you're going to have, you know, hopefully he'll come to his, you know, Jesus moment and realize he'll be lucky if you take him back after this.
Now, I mean, I know that, you know, he had wanted to talk over the weekend. Does that look like it's still going to happen?
I mean, that's why I said it. It looks like in the next week or two, you know, 2 weeks, he may not call you this weekend because he still doesn't know what to say. I wouldn't call him on it. If he doesn't call you or contact you about it, just wait.
Okay.
Because if he doesn't contact you, it means he still doesn't know what he's doing. He's still scared. So if you contact him then, he's going to probably say things he doesn't always mean or want to mean, but he's just scared and push you away.
Yeah.
So if he doesn't, just wait. Okay. Because, again, he's you know, basically a nice person who knows he can't keep jerking you around. But, and now it's like it went so fast, so quickly to love, and, you know, he's telling you he loved you every day, a million times a day.
Yeah.
And then he pulls away. So, I mean, you can't really, like, you may want to say we need to slow things down, but it's really hard to slow things down once they've gone to a certain level. So if he wants to just, let's just casually date and all of that. You know, see what you feel about that, but that's going to be difficult, you know, because then, you know, suddenly he's not going to be saying I love you, or you're not going to be able to say that, and it's going to be awkward. So just see what happens. Let me know what happens if he comes through with this weekend. Right now it looks like he's scared.
Okay.
Okay. And he may, you know, just not do it. And you know, I think if before this call, would you have contacted him about it if I didn't tell you not to?
I don't know, to be perfectly honest. I mean, I'm kind of, I mean, not that I'm trying to distract myself, but I mean, I started my instrument training, you know, to make piloting my career eventually. So, I have a ton of work and studying that, you know, newfound studying that I have to do now. So, I mean, I have a nice little distraction for myself.
Okay, good. I would say study, focus on your career. And give it another week or so, because it just looks like, if, you know, if he does contact you, just listen and see what he has to say, okay? You know, if he wants to get together. But, you know, I would say he doesn't really know what he wants. So what good is he going to talk to you this week when he's going to say, I don't know what I want? Is that going to help any, or is that going to make it worse?
It's not going to help anything.
Let's give him a little time. Call in again and let us know what happens, because everyone will be praying for you. I mean, you guys were soulmates. Look how fast it went from soulmate to ending. What's the matter with your generation?
I don't know. I don't know why I keep being brought, you know, these men. Like, I, the universe knows what I want. And, you know, I don't understand why, you know, this keeps happening over and over again.
Well, it's not you personally. It's, you know, your generation can't commit. Look at his sister with someone for 12 years that can't commit to her, okay?
Yeah.
Like, it's really a problem. And he knew about the men that ghosted you or pulled this crap. And didn't,
yeah.
What did he say when you told him about that? Didn't he think that was an acceptable behavior? Didn't he think that too?
He knew all about it. He knew all about my marriage. He knew all about my past relationships. You know, and I knew about his too. You know, he became my best friend. Like, you know, and I miss him.
Wow. Well, I know you do. And so let's just, you know, see what happens. And I'm glad you're staying strong. It doesn't do any good to, obsess about it or, you know, the one thing what people need when someone's a commitment phobic or doing this is you need patience.
Yeah.
Okay. And if you rush it, he's only going to run more.
Yeah.
So be strong. Okay. And it does look like, I know it's hard. Nicole, are you listening? Do you have anything to add to this? Because Nicole, she might be screening people, but I think she'd be pretty shocked.
No, I'm here.
I mean, aren't you pretty shocked that, remember how close that Amanda was and everything was perfect and then he breaks up with her? I mean.
Yeah.
I was shocked.
I didn't hear the beginning, so I don't know what occurred before. Then I just kind of got the gist halfway through the call, you know. But, I mean, I definitely agree that you shouldn't be calling him, number one. You know, you guys seem to have a very, very open and honest relationship. And for the most part, and again, I missed the beginning of this because I was in the chat room screening.
Just that he broke up. His sister had some issues. They're triplets. And, but it came out of the blue. Like Monday came flowers. Flowers and candy. And then like 4 days later came breakup. Like, does that make sense? Like,
no,
crazy.
Not at all. I mean, but here's the thing. Like, you know, he's the one that's going to have to spell. Like, did you have a problem with the sister?
Yeah.
What was the problem with the sister?
The sister is just, she's miserable and she's, you know, she's jealous and everybody's talking about moving away and, you know, she's getting scared that everybody's going to leave her alone.
Okay, so if he's allowing his sister to dictate the rest of his life, then not for anything. That's probably something that you're better off knowing now, you know. Because that to me is just really, really strange, to be honest with you.
It's really, really strange.
I'm the oldest of six, and, you know, my siblings haven't always liked the people that I date, but I've never broken up with anybody as a direct result, not without warning or anything else like that. You know, it's one thing if they say, you know, hey, listen, you know what, this is a couple of things that I don't like about that person. And I say, you know what? I don't like those things either. And I try to work it out some way, but not just to drop like that. So to me, there's definitely some sort of issue there. And who knows, maybe his phobia, her phobia is that everybody's going to be running away. Maybe his phobia is losing his family or losing her for some reason, you know.
Well, because they're triplets, okay? You know, triplets have a connection.
Great. I mean, listen, that's wonderful, but you know what? It doesn't make any sense to me, you know, which tells me that this is an excuse, you know. Maybe as much as you guys were best friends, you know, maybe he saw this as, you know, being like, you know, the end of his freedom. You know, he could no longer, you know, he now had to involve you in certain decisions and not so much the people that he's been leaning on, which are likely the triplets, you know, or his direct siblings, you know. I don't know. I really, really don't know. But that fear of exclusivity and that just desire to believe one over the other, is definitely a lack of trust in you there, you know, because regardless of if he did really have that full trust, regardless of what his sister said about you, he would trust that he knew who you were, you know, and that you were forthright about who you are, you know. So to me, there's something else brewing.
Which means seems to be commitment.
Well, he's definitely commitment phobic. I mean, my God, like nobody does that, you know, absolutely nobody does that. And if you recall very, very early on, we said, you know what, he's running in the other direction, you know, when he had that one incident and then he came back and he was great. So, you know, my personal opinion, given where I thought he was going to take this when you first met him to where we are today, I think that he definitely probably had, you know, some commitment phobic issues. I think that his sister has probably historically always gotten in the way of his happiness with women. I think that that's probably one of the driving factors as to why he didn't get back to you after that one really great day. He was probably fearing what the sister was going to say because the sister's going to see you as a threat. And he tried to make it work. And then when the sister probably put his foot down, his fear of losing his family was greater than his fear of losing you. You know, and
yes.
I think that, you know, that whole fear of really submitting himself to falling fully into love is probably what drove him to this decision. Because I think that as much as he loved you or as much as he was falling for you, you know, just having that wall up, you know, with his family was his protection. And now that his sister has probably invoked something, you know, some sort of familial bond, you know, now he feels that he's doing the right thing by walking away. But this is not this is not something for you to chase down. This is something for him to come to you to say, hey, listen, this is what's up.
Right. Right. So she'll call in again and let us know what happens. We want to try to get another caller or two in here. So I'm sure there's other people wondering what's happened in their relationships. I mean, this is crazy stuff, but let's see what he does when he actually talks to you. Okay.
And
good luck to you, and study for your pilot test so you can do this professionally, which is your dream. So focus on that. Don't let this derail you from your career. Okay.
I will. Thank you so much.
Love you, darling.
Bye. Love you, Nicole.
Sorry,
bye.
Amanda Fett. Bye.
Okay. I know. Bye. It broke my heart. You know, I know. It's terrible.
It's just so random.
Unexpected. So out of character for him. And again,
like,
when people
do
something
like,
out of...
It's almost incestuous.
Right.
Seriously. Like, it really, really is. Like, that's his sister, not his wife. Like, I get it that it sucks if the person that you're dating doesn't get along with your siblings. But, my God, figure it out.
I know.
You know, like, without warning, without saying, hey, listen, you know what? You and my sister are not getting along, and that needs to change if we're going to move forward. At least do something. Work it the fuck out. But, I mean, to just be like, bye, done. Like, that's weird.
It's weird. I said the weirdest thing is candy and flowers on Monday, break up on Thursday. Okay.
Yeah,
like,
there's just something weird.
And when she has COVID and been quarantined, and all, she had COVID. She's getting over COVID. Why would you dump that on someone who's sick? You know what I mean? This is terrible. That's just terrible.
Well, that's very simple. That's the simple answer. The simple thing right there is, why dump it on somebody who's sick? He's being selfish. He's not thinking about what this is doing to Amanda. He's not even giving Amanda the chance, the opportunity to know what she's up against. He just walked.
Right. Didn't give her an opportunity to fight.
Exactly. Like, nothing. And he didn't want her to fight because otherwise he wouldn't have done what he did.
No, of course not.
You know, he would not have done what he did had it been, you know, a situation where he was going to be willing, you know, to let her fight, you know. But, listen, the grown-up thing and the adult thing to do there, if the sister had a problem with Amanda or anything else, the adult thing would have been to say, listen, you and my sister clearly have some issues, and if you and I are going to work out, like, I need my family to support me. I need my family to be on board with this. You know, so whatever we need to do to make things amicable or to move us forward, you know, you and my sister need to work that out. You know, that's not for me to figure out. You and my sister need to work that out, you know, and then give her the opportunity. And then at least if Amanda says, you know what, there's no way I'm working anything out with this girl, you know, then I guess we're not moving forward. Then at least it's a dialogue. But to do it like to just like knock off like that, it's weird. It's just something's not right.
Right, that's what I said, not right. But let's see Deanna. We've read her before in Kentucky, right?
Yes.
Let's go to Kentucky.
Going up to Kentucky. Now you read Deanna a couple months ago, and you know she had like the amazing date, remember that, Cindy, or whatever, where she it was like an all-day sort of meeting and everything, and she wanted to know if it was going to go anywhere else. Well, you know what? That wound up fizzling out, although it was a wonderful day. I never really called, whatever, texted a couple times, and then that was it. But now, about 6 weeks ago, Deanna seems to have found what she believes to be her twin flame. And she's about three-quarters of the way through your book. And, you know, she's very, very interested in knowing more about this and, you know, and sharing, you know, why she thinks that she's found her twin flame there. But she really, truly feels that on an almost existential way that you know, she found her other half. And now she'd like you to weigh in on that, Cindy. So here we go out to Deanna in Kentucky. Hello, Deanna.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Hi.
Okay, so you met someone during COVID, you're telling us.
Yes, it was with a hiking group.
Oh, nice, good.
Yes.
Good, clean, fresh outdoor fun. Okay, and let me stress to people, she went out and she went to a hiking and she met someone, because that's what I tell people, you got to get out in the world a little bit, okay?
Yes.
So how long have you known this person now?
6 weeks, and I know it's early and everything, but I just wanted to know kind of if you're feeling or seeing anything about this. We're very like-minded. He's 8 years older, a Scorpio, and I'm a Capricorn. He's the oldest and I'm an oldest. His kids are grown as mine are. So there's no drama pieces of stuff that we're weighing in on or anything like that. But you know, he wants to move it along a little bit faster than I do. I'm a little more reserved in that way because after a 30-year marriage and a divorce 7 years ago, I've had two relationships and that I thought were great. One was 2 years and one was a year that fell apart, and both were infidelity. So I don't trust real easy. It's only been 6 weeks. His decorum is outstanding. I watch his actions align with his words, but I'm reserved, and it's only been 6 weeks.
Right. And what makes you think he's your twin flame?
Well, I actually what I said was I'm not sure, but I'm reading just in the pages of reading about twin souls and mirror souls, and we seem to connect in a lot of ways on those levels, along with our faith and so much there that's in common. So I'm a little more reserved. He would like to move things faster. He's not pushy, though. I'm 58. He's 66. And I just wanted to see if you sense anything or, you know.
Okay, I mean, it looks like it's starting out on the right 2 feet, ha-ha, hiking, you know, like it's starting out on the right 2 feet.
Exactly.
You know, are you dating or in a relationship? What are you? Are you just, do you have a
We're in a relationship. Yes, because he told me that he didn't want to date anybody else. He said, I really, really like you. I want to know if you're wanting to date other people. And I said, no, I'm pretty comfortable with just making it, you know, being with just you. And he said, okay, because I don't want to date multiple people. And I want to see where this goes. And he said, and I just like everything that I see. So,
oh, that's starting out in the right 2 feet. You're in a committed relationship, okay? Again, doesn't mean we're going to marry a person, but, you know, for at least 3 months, committing to each other is important so you could see what's there, so you can feel trust growing and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you seem to look like in this card that you're his dream girl. Has he told you that? Like you're what he's been looking for. Okay.
Yeah.
And I understand it's good to be a little leery, take it slow. But our caller before, the reason I spent so much time on that was soulmate love is so strong in the beginning. And even a commitment phobe can come on very strong and move it forward so fast. And then the 6 month mark, just play the game of blemish and run away, you know, like, so I'm sure you're a little, you know, scared of that. You don't want to.
Well,
have someone come on so strong and get afraid. And
yeah, I want to throw this out there that I said I am very committed to not rushing into throwing the intimacy in it, because when you do that too soon, too quick, and I'm guilty of it, then you're focused on the lust instead of the overall person. And the lust and the flesh is easy to satisfy. It's all the other intricate pieces before you put that in the picture. So,
right. And,
you know,
I think he gets it. I mean, it looks to me like he's very, like, intrigued by you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he really likes you. You know, he wants to make this work. And, again, there's no rush here. You know, take your time.
No.
It's not like you
no.
got a biological clock tick and you want to have a baby. Like, we can all take this a little slow.
No.
but it's nice that it was brought during COVID, because it's nice to have someone to be with during this. Isn't it nice?
Yes. And then, you know, when you throw into that, I want to add that his wife that passed away of, they were married 43 years, she never worked. I've always worked because of three kids in private school, and it took both of our incomes. So he's not used to a working woman, and I don't, you know, he hasn't ever complained about that other than, he's retired and just started a part-time job because he wanted something to do with his time before we met. He's working part-time because he's very good in that area in electrical, but yet they're working on 40 hours. So he's like, I hate that I'm working this job now, but, you know, I said, well, it's too soon. Look, we've just met each other 6 weeks ago. There's no hurry. We don't need to meet deadlines or anything. Give it some time.
Good. And it's interesting because I've heard this story a lot where a man has a wife who dies and she never was a working woman. And now they're with women like you who work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it takes them a little bit by surprise. They're not used to it. You know, according to his wife, he was a very loyal and trustworthy husband. Okay.
Well, she didn't know who he was the last 7 years from her dementia. She would say, what's your name again? He took care of her till she passed. Well, he's a quality man.
Right. No.
You know?
And prior to her dementia, though, she said he was a very good man. She doesn't have dementia now.
Right.
She doesn't have, you know, she's healed from all of that. Soulmate love always comes from God and someone who died. You know, she's claiming to have had a hand in this, bringing him to you. But she said he's used to being in a monogamous relationship. You have to be careful because someone who's lost a wife and he lost her a long time ago, even though, you know, when she's in the dementia, it hasn't been her. But
that's exactly,
you know,
what he said to me, I swear, a week ago.
He lost her a long time ago. So it's like she's been gone a long time, okay? But, you know, he wants that again. He was happy. Like, I'm glad you're with a man who was married long term, who liked being married, because that's a good sign, isn't it? Like, he liked being married. And, you know, maybe he is anxious to rush this a little bit, but, you know, he'll have to adjust to the fact that you're not going to be his babysitter. Like, he may, you know, he has to find ways to occupy himself and keep himself busy when you're working, you know. And it looks like he can do that. You know, go doing what you're doing. I definitely got the soulmate card, so he's definitely a soulmate. Whether he's a twin flame or mirror soul is hard to tell. Mirror souls, mm-hmm. they don't talk about much on this show, so I'm glad you brought it up. Mirror souls, we have 11 of them in the universe, and they're part of our most intimate soul family. Like, we have an extended group souls, which are thousands and thousands, a big group soul of family, but it's like your immediate family is what mirror souls are. And the twin flame is also a mirror soul, but a mirror soul, you love them unconditionally. When you're together, you always bring out the best in each other. It's a very easy relationship. It's a little bit skewed because it's like a rose-colored glasses relationship in many ways, because when you're mm-hmm. with each other, you can't see each other's flaws. When, you know that they exist, but you don't really, it doesn't really bother you, okay? Mm-hmm. Twin flame, they're brought for humanity. They usually have a lot of obstacles to overcome. They're not an easy relationship all the time. He could be a very high soulmate with his, mm-hmm. You have that recognition factor. You felt comfortable with him, right? Like you've always known him.
Yes.
And do you feel a heart connection with him?
A very more of a heart connection than a physical connection, just because he is that. But that doesn't bother me whatsoever. He's very attractive. He's very fit. He hikes or walks 5 miles a day.
Mm-hmm.
So, he's a man that takes care of himself at 66 and eats healthy, and he goes and still tends to his mother that's 84 and cleans her house every week, spick and span. I asked him how much he paid. I said, what about your housekeeper? And he goes, housekeeper? I'm the housekeeper. And I was like, what? He keeps it clean.
That's good. I like him. I mean, I was watching a movie the other day, and all these wives were envious. These women were envious because this woman's house was so clean. And they said, what's your secret to a clean house? She said, a dead husband. So I think it's kind of funny. This guy cleans, okay? Like,
yeah,
whoa,
that's
good. Right there. Already I put him in the list of stay with him forever, okay?
I got an even better one, Cindy. He said, where would you like to go to dinner? I said, I'm really simple, and working my job is really stressful through COVID because I'm a healthcare worker. I said, I'm fatigued. I would rather stay home. So he loves to cook, and he's an incredible cook. So win-win.
Well, so I am saying here, this looks very good. He looks like a really nice guy. And again, it's hard to take it slow with soulmates. It's almost an oxymoron because the relationship goes very close, goes very fast. So trying to slow it sometimes is hard. But do you feel a soul connection with him? Does he bring out the best in you or make you want to be a better person? Do you feel that connection? How about a mind connection? Do you like talking to him?
All the time. If we're not together, then it's hours on the phone, and he lives 15 minutes away. Come on now.
Okay, so good. The universe brought you close together. Of course, you can always tell when a dead mother or wife bring someone because they don't want them traveling far. They want it like close by.
What's ironic? I've been on date sites for 2 years. I've never met anybody less than an hour and anywhere from 1 to 2 hours away. And I said, I'm sick of it. The day I said I was sick of it, I joined the hiking group. The next day after I joined this hiking group, I met him. And
you're reading Grant Me a Higher Love. So you think this is a coincidence? That you're manifesting this and that this happens. I mean, that's what Grant Me Higher Love is, a prayer. And you're reading the book and you've been reading it. And you've listened to our radio shows where we say, go out. I know we're in COVID, but there are things you could do safely. Go out and meet people. Like,
Cindy,
with
I have a couple
common
of friends
interest.
That, like, I have a couple of friends that have been divorced and they go to bars and they meet somebody and this guy is really nice. And I'm like, you go to a bar. And the first time I met this guy, every other word was pure slander. And then he was talking in front of me about you're all sex. You know what? That's not a quality man. It's not quality.
No.
So,
no. So here it is. So I would say take it one day at a time. Enjoy it. He seems like, according to his wife, he's pretty easygoing for the most part. She said sometimes he got on her nerves, but I think she got on his nerves too. But she said for the most part, it's pretty easygoing. And what you see is what you get, okay? And just enjoy it, because the cards look good on this, actually. Okay, it looks nice, and, you know, it's nice to have a man who wants to cook for you and do things for you. And that you don't have to be mommy.
But has bought me flowers every week for 4 weeks. So it's just, I mean, it's almost like this guy is thick and span. He's very simple. We go on hikes. We go on walks. We go to the park. We go back to his house. He cooks. I mean, it's almost
simple pleasures that you can safely do during COVID and enjoy. So everything looks good here. So you can call in again and let us know what if you – as you observe the relationship, if you think it's near a soul or a twin flame, or if you think it's a very high soulmate, it's hard almost to tell the difference. The only thing with twin flames at this stage of human consciousness, there tends to be a lot of obstacles, and they tend to not work out. So I don't think that it's that, because you don't have a lot. There's not obstacles here. He's not married.
I haven't seen a single obstacle.
That's what I'm saying. That's more a mirror soulmate.
Okay.
Miracles don't have obstacles.
Yeah, the only thing I'm sensing for myself is my wall a little bit too high of protecting, because I'm a giver to a fault. My heart is larger than life. I wear it on my shoulder. I'm a caregiver. I just, you know, I'm taking care of my dad who's widowed. He's looking after his mother who's widowed. There's just so much in common that we completely understand each other.
And remember, two good people together, love should be very simple. He's a giver from what I can tell. Like he gives to his mom. He's a giver. He wants to make food for you. And you're a giver. You know, it'll be hard to tell who gives more when you're with a giver. Okay?
He's
proven he's a giver. Okay?
Yeah.
So just enjoy two good people together. Love is very easy. It's peace, love, joy. It's not a lot of drama. It's nice and peaceful. Don't mistake drama for passion. And, you know, he seems like a very giving person. So, again, I'm not surprised you met him.
He seemed a smidgen taken back when he said to me last week, do you think that you would want me to go with you to see your kids in California this August? I said, you know, Rick, I've known you for 6 weeks. If I go see my kids in August, it's probably too soon. I only see them a week out of the year. I'm a little selfish with that week. And it's a little soon for me to introduce you to my kids.
Okay. But you may change your mind in August. Let's just see what happens.
You're right. You're right.
Because soulmates come first, so you might decide you want your children to meet him. You know, you can cross that bridge when you get to it, but everything looks good in these cards. I'm not worried about this relationship.
Okay, thank you.
So keep us posted and call in again, and I'm so happy for you, and I'm so happy you showed how you met someone.
All right, thank you.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, let's go to the 347-0057.
All righty then.
See if we can get one more caller in tonight.
Do we know who this is?
No, I don't.
Oh, all righty then. Hello, 0057. You are on the air.
Hello?
Hello? You're on the air with Cindy.
Hello, can you hear me?
Hello, can you hear us? We can hear you.
Yes, I can. Okay. I wasn't expecting to get called.
Okay. Well, that's what I said. She's waiting until what's your name?
My name is Nikki.
Okay, Nikki, and there must be something on your mind that you've been waiting so patiently. So what would you like some advice on or share with us? We're here for you.
So I know that, you know, I always hear people saying, you know, look for the signs that the universe is trying to send you. Pay attention. You know, it could be a song on the radio. It could be a sign, like something. And
cardinal. Feather.
Yeah. And lately I have been, my ex has been weighing on my mind very heavily. And today for some reason I end up driving behind a truck and I see his name just like right there staring at me in the face. And just like little things like, So I guess my question is, like, what is the universe trying to tell me? Because, you know, it's not like this is something that happens all the time. Like, what are the chances that I'm driving behind a truck and I happen to see his name literally right there? You know what I mean?
Yeah, this, first of all, when you're soulfully connected with someone, have a soul connection, and you break up or, you know, you're not together, you end up getting messages as if they died because the soul gets really angry. Like, the ego might have broken up the relationship or other external events, but the soul still wants to commune. So the soul communes the same way whether you're living or dead. So, yes, you could hear a song. You could see a license plate with his initials or a name or a bumper sticker. And those are the main ways. And, you know, it looks to me like he has been thinking about you as well, as much as you've been thinking about, you know, him. And how long have you guys been broken up?
Maybe like about 5 months or so.
Okay. And have you had any contact with in this time?
The last contact we ever had was right before Christmas.
Okay. And, you know, have you been dreaming about this person as well?
Yes.
Okay, because yeah. They come in the dream plane a lot. The soul is angry and comes. What caused the breakup?
Not really sure, to be
okay,
honest.
It's almost like Amanda. It's almost like you don't know what happened, and there's no real closure. And that's like his soul. It's not at this point when I, you know, when I'm shuffling the cards and I'm asking your spirit guides, it's not you sending him messages right now. It's him sending you. Okay, like that's why you got the, you know, saw his name. That's why these things are happening to you. And, you know, his soul is coming to you because it's mad. Doesn't understand why he ran away. It looks like there's commitment phobia here too going on. When you don't understand why a relationship ends, mostly it's commitment phobia. Okay, like were things going pretty well when you guys broke up?
No, because I mean, I felt like he started kind of like pulling away a little bit.
Okay, so he were ready to, it's funny, was he close and then he started pulling away?
I mean, things were great, you know, we really like hit it off. I mean, I thought he was it for me. I thought he was someone that I was going to end up marrying and spending the rest of my life with. So.
And that's why you're getting the messages, okay, because it was a soulmate connection. Okay, there was that heart, soul, mind, body connection. And he ran away scared, and his soul is so mad that he's coming to you like a dead man would come to you. He's loving you like a dead man. He's loving you with his heart, you know, soul, and mind, but he can't put his body with you. That's because oftentimes people are afraid to love somebody who could die on them. That fear really kicks in. And, you know, there are all kinds of commitment phobics. They're what I call committed commitment phobics. They marry people they don't love all that much. They call them a home with their bodies only, and their hearts or minds are elsewhere. Yours is the opposite. He just can't bring that part of him to you because he's afraid. But his soul has been sending you constant messages. And, you know, you can send him love on the soul plane, but you can also tell his soul, and I'll tell his soul right now because I can talk to any soul living or dead, that you're not a dead man. If you got something to say, pick up a phone, okay? You know?
Yeah.
If you got something to say, say it on the earth plane, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Don't love her like a dead man. It's not fair to her because you're trying to move on. And the universe is usually pretty patient with commitment phobics. They'll give them 3 to 6 months to see what they do before they'll bring another soulmate in alignment with you. The universe is getting ready to bring you another soulmate. His soul knows this, and he's panicking. You know, have you ever thought about contacting him at all?
I have, but, you know, I don't want to say that, like, it's the stubborn side of me that doesn't want to, because I don't feel I'm being stubborn about it. I feel like, you know, I should not be the one reaching out to him because this is not what I wanted at all. So I don't want it to seem like, you know, if I reach out to him that it's almost like I'm trying to convince someone to be with me, or I don't know if what I'm saying is making sense. Like,
yes, it does.
In
and
my
I
head,
would
it's
say,
like, if he wants to talk to me or if he wants to reach out to me, he knows how to contact me. He knows how
right,
to get in touch with me.
And that's what I'm trying to say. You've got to start telling his soul, you can't love me like a dead man. Okay? If you're not going to come to me on the earth plane by coming to see me, calling me, talking to me, I don't want you to send me these messages. Okay? Because it's not fair to you. It's hard for you to move on when these things
happen. Very,
you know,
hard.
And that's, but can you see how, when you were saying you're looking for signs or whatever, isn't that how dead people commune? Don't they give us signs, dead people? Like, what do we need a living person to give us signs for? Call me.
No.
You know, and, you know, he can hear this. It looks like you, you know, you might get a contact from him. Again, he's scared and he ran away and he knows this is going to be the real deal. And if he comes back, he's got to be ready to commit. You can't come back and run away again. Like, he loved
right.
you enough not to do that again to you. So he doesn't know what his fears are all the way. How old is he?
31.
Okay. And, you know, your generation seems to have a lot of trouble with commitment phobia and committing. And part of why God shut down the world, he wanted to lock people away in their own hole, you know, foxholes for a while. Maybe you want to be with another human being, you know, and it looks like he might try to contact you in the next month or two, see what he has to say, but keep trying to block him from just telepathically giving you messages because it really is not fair. It's not fair to
so
you.
So how do I, like, how do I do that then? Like, do I literally, like, verb like vocally say out loud like
right
how do
okay.
I
so just in your head his soul can hear you commune to him and say if you've got something to say please come on the earth plane and give me a message and talk to me okay because this isn't working okay this is not healthy for him it's not healthy for you but you know it's hard because you are getting the signs and I know you're getting them from him and you know, it's like what Amanda just went through. And it's that generation. They come close and they've run away. And this is
yeah.
terrible. And but for people to do this, they have to have a level of narcissism. That's the thing that maybe, you know, it's about him. Like, how could you just hurt somebody who loves you? How could you just do that, you know,
right.
because you're afraid? And do you have any mutual friends or know any people that know him?
Yeah.
And have they anyone seen him lately or talked with him?
I honestly don't even, I don't ask. I don't want to know. I wouldn't know unless I have, like, I literally ask them that. And I have not done that because I'd
right.
rather not,
okay.
to be honest.
And
not because I don't want to, but because I feel like I have to because, you know, this breakup left me questioning a lot of things, and it just made me wonder, like, was anything ever even real with our relationship?
Okay, that's what I have
or
to
was
tell
it
you.
One-sided?
Nope, and that's why he's got such bad karma surrounding him, because in order for him to ever be granted another soulmate, he would have to say, to come back and say, you're the love of my life, and I'm too screwed up to do this, okay, so that your soul would get some closure here. Okay.
And to be quite honest with you, I would rather that. I would
right,
rather
you need some closure.
Be honest and tell me the truth.
And then you could move on. The problem with commitment phobia is they don't give any closure, and they do that on purpose because they don't know whether they love you or they fear losing you. And so they just keep this open-ended thing that makes it very hard when there's no closure. And so, you know, the very least, even if he calls you up drunk and tells you the truth, maybe 10 years from now, they'll grant him another soulmate after he suffers because he threw this one away. But, you know, the thing of it is there's no closure. And
right.
he's doing a lot to distract from it. That's why he's not feeling the pain. So as much as you might be all the time. But it looks like every night when he puts his head on the pillow, no matter how busy he's been, it's you he's been thinking about. So, you know, this is something that let's hope he gives you the closure you need, and, you know, that, again, when you get these signs, acknowledge them to his soul. Yes, I saw the sign, but you're not dead. Call me. Okay, just keep saying that so, you know, he begins to hear the message. because and call in again and let us know if he does contact you soon, because it looks to me like he's been thinking about contacting you. So you might hear from him. And, you know, we have to ask him, what's your intention in contacting me, by the way? Okay? Like, you know, don't let him just contact you and run, you know, or just, you know, sometimes they just want to see if they still got you. So be pretty, you know, firm about finding out what's this call mean or what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so do us a favor, and if he does contact you, you will, you know, let us know what happens, you know, and, you know, wishing you good luck on this. They're going to knock us off the show in about a second. So good night, everybody. Nikki, thanks for calling
in.
Let us know what happens, and good luck to you.
I will. Thank you.
Bye. Well, Nicole, this was an interesting show filled with all kinds of soulmate stuff, huh? So that was good. Now, Nicole, I don't know, did you get bumped off? I don't even see you here. Okay, maybe she got bumped off here.
Nope, I'm
okay.
here. I'm here.
Okay.
My mic just wouldn't turn on.
Okay. Well, good night, Nicole. We'll all speak next week. Stay well, stay healthy. Bye, everybody.
Bye.